Hills, I've been here many times, and it's always a thrill. No other church makes me feel more at home. My relationship with Oak Hills is actually longer and older than most of you, because my wife grew up at this church. And so I've been affiliated with this church in some capacity for almost four decades, back when this church was still at Fredericksburg Road, back two preachers even before Max. So the first thing I want to do is say thank you for raising such an amazing woman. And then, of course, my relationship with Max goes back to college. We even spent a year together as roommates. Someday, he's going to write a book, and the dedication page is going to say, "To Rick, without whose help, I would not have passed freshman Greek," okay? He's talking about me. So, I love being here this time of year because I love giving challenges for a new year, and I feel like the Lord has given me a word today that I trust will bless you, and I'm going to start with an awkward question. Have you ever been on a sinking boat? Because I have. And consequently, I have an irrational fear of boats. I only have two irrational fears. One is snakes. I hate snakes. Now, let me be fair. I only hate three kinds of snakes. I hate big snakes, I hate little snakes, and I hate sticks that look like snakes, okay? And my other irrational fear, I'll confess, is boats, because it was during the holidays when I was a boy, my father took me and my brother fishing on a lake in East Texas, and we got in a little wooden boat in the middle of that lake, and it took on water, and it sank. And I wasn't a good swimmer, and for a long time in frigid water, I did my best to stay above the water, screaming, until someone finally came and rescued us. And so you can understand why it takes more courage for me than it might for you to get back on a little boat in a big body of water. That may not be your thing, but I bet you have some memory of your past of something that was rather traumatic, and you have to summon up more courage than most people to intentionally put yourself back in a situation where that could happen again. Now, where am I going with all this? Look at this verse with me from 2 Corinthians 11. Paul says, "Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea." Are you kidding me? You were in one shipwreck, spent all night trying to stay alive, and you got on a boat again? What were you thinking? And Paul would say, "Well, I was thinking I should follow and obey Jesus." Because following Jesus is not for wimps. It takes courage. And God's given me a word for you for 2019. And that word is courage. So I want us to look at a shipwreck story from Paul's life. Acts 27, turn your Bibles there. I'll give you context. It is Paul's heart's desire to preach the gospel in Rome. And the Holy Spirit has told Paul he's going to get to. What Paul didn't anticipate was the way God was going to get him there. Because Paul got arrested in Jerusalem, he has spent 2 years in prison and can't get a fair trial. And so finally he appeals to Caesar. And it dawns on Paul, that's how God is going to get me to Rome as a prisoner. So when Acts 27 starts, they put Paul and some other prisoners on a boat headed to Rome. Dr. Luke gets to join and come along. And it says that they start out and they have great difficulty making headway because of strong winds. Now, that raises a question. God, why do you tell us where you want us to be and then make it hard to get there? You ever wondered that? God, why do you give me this big goal and then make it hard to reach? Hold on to that question. So they come to an island called Crete. And there's a little harbor there. And Paul says, "Okay, guys, winter is near, and in those days you did not sail on the Mediterranean in wintertime. Too dangerous. We better harbor and just stay the winter here." But those experienced soldiers are not going to listen to some chain preacher. They say, "We can make it." So they take off for a couple of days. It looks like they make a good decision. Everything's fair and mild. And then day three, Dr. Luke says, "We hit a hurricane." It didn't last for a few hours. It lasted for days. And that storm is blowing that ship wherever it wants. Forget sailing. They're just trying to survive. They cut loose the lifeboat. They tie the hull with ropes. They throw cargo overboard. They're just going wherever that storm wants to take them. And finally, it says in Acts 27, verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. The sailors gave up hope. The soldiers gave up hope. The prisoners gave up hope. Only one person still had hope, and that was Paul. It says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. And then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. Don't you love that? I'm an apostle, but I'm playing the I told you so card whenever I get a chance. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. So Paul receives a word from God in the midst of the storm, and his application of the revelation was two times, keep up your courage. Don't let what we're going through hinder you from being bold and brave. In fact, here's the whole sermon in one line. We need courage to grow through what we go through. Because in 2019, you are going to go through some storms. Some of you already know what they are, but most of the storms coming, you don't see coming yet. You see, Jesus never promised us smooth sailing. Back to that other question. Why does God give us a great goal and make it hard to get there? You see, we often as Americans live under a false assumption. If I'm a good person, I obey God and do like I'm supposed to, then God's supposed to give me the life I want. When in reality, obedience doesn't lead to convenience. It often makes life harder. It's because Paul was obedient that he had spent 2 years in jail. It's because Paul was faithful, he had spent 2 weeks on a ship not able to keep his lunch down. You see, most of us have the faith to glorify God when we get where we want. When we get there and we reach our goal and we're where we want to be, we can shout hallelujah. We have the faith to glorify God when we get where we want. Do we have the courage to thank God in all the storms and detours we go through on the way there? Paul said when he was in jail to the Philippian church, I expect and hope that I'll not fail Christ in anything, but that I will have the courage, now as always, to show the greatness of Christ in my life here on earth, whether I live or die. Paul says, I don't know if I'm getting out of this jail alive. I don't know what tomorrow holds. What I believe is that I'm going to have the courage to show the greatness of Christ in my life, no matter what tomorrow brings me. Now, here's the thing. Storms are coming. Some of them you see and some of them you don't see, but they're coming. Some storms we face because we make bad decisions and we reap the consequence of our bad choices. Some storms we face because other people make bad decisions. That's why Paul was going through a storm. And sometimes we face storms just because we're out on the ocean and life happens to everybody. You don't get to choose your storm. You get to choose, am I going to grow through what I go through? And I'm going to show you three ways in 2019 you're going to need some real courage. And here's the first. Let's go to verse 33. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you've been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. And after he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. And then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. So here's the first big challenge we'll face next year. Do we have the courage to trust that God is present in our present circumstances? Because God is always near, it's not always easy to recognize it. And when the storm is present, God can feel absent. every one of us, if we're honest, have thought the thought of the psalmist in chapter 10, verse 1. Lord, why are you so far away? Why do you hide when there is trouble? And God doesn't hide. But when we're in the middle of the storm, it can feel like it. So Paul has spent 2 years in prison on a trumped-up charge. He spent 2 weeks in the middle of a storm. Do you understand how much courage it took for him to stand up in a boat full of men, most of them unbelievers, and say, God is with me right now, and take some bread and thank God in the middle of the storm. And believe like the psalmist in chapter 16, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. The absence of calm did not stop Paul from declaring the presence of God. Now, one reason you may struggle next year to believe in the presence of God and to see God is because some things are coming that you don't see yet. And sometimes it's hard to believe God is around when things come around that we don't want to go through. You're tired of going through infertility. You didn't want to go through a miscarriage. You cannot believe you're going through the breakup of your parents' marriage. You didn't see that coming. You didn't want to go through downsizing. You certainly didn't want to go through breast cancer. And you hope you never, ever again go through that season of your child's addiction. Tim Keller says that he was in love with a girl. He wanted desperately to marry her, and he spent a year trying to convince her and God. Prayed all the time, even moved closer to her, said, God, I'm making it easy for you, but it never happened. And he could look back and realize it didn't need to happen. But he said, what God was trying to teach me in that moment is, son, when a child of mine asks me for something, I don't give them what they ask. I give them what they would have asked for if they knew everything I know. See, the last thing they would have asked for was a shipwreck. And the last thing they wanted was the very thing they needed to save their life. And so that ship ran aground, just like the angel told Paul it would. And every single person on that boat made it to shore alive. Let's read what it says next in chapter 28, verse 1. Once safely on shore, we found out the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. And Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat. I cannot believe I'm reading about boats and snakes in the same day. A viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. The fangs went so deep into his hand, it hung from his hand. While the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. And the people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Now just imagine, you're Paul. You have spent 2 years in jail for something you didn't do. 2 months at sea, going up and down, losing your lunch, thrown into the water, make it to shore, freezing cold, raining, just trying to build a fire, and a snake bites you on the hand. I'd look up to heaven and say, seriously, come on. Because Paul is about to face an even bigger storm. You won't face a bigger challenge next year than this. To have the courage to find your identity in what God says instead of what others say. Because have you ever noticed when you're going through a storm, everybody's got a reason why you are? Everybody else has an explanation and they assign a reason why you're going through what you're going through. Because it is easier to give people a label than it is to give them a hand. But Paul didn't give in to the pressure of the latest opinion poll. So he's got a snake hanging from his hand. and people looking at him saying, "You must be a bad dude." And Paul looked right back and said, "Haters gonna hate, 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 hate. Shake it off, shake it off." And that became the lyrics to a popular hymn. Because what people say about you is so fickle. One day they love you, one day they think you don't know anything. One day you're awesome, the next day you're awful. People are so fickle, God is so faithful. But it takes courage to let God define who you are when there are so many other voices telling you who you ought to be. I want you to think about the young single adult person here at Oak Hills. And the culture is telling them every day, if you're not having a lot of sex, you can't possibly be living a flourishing, fruitful life. And God says, I made your body for me. And your highest joy is in intimacy with me, so guard your purity. It takes amazing courage to listen to God instead of to all the other voices. And the culture says your net worth determines your self-worth. So your biggest goal in 2019 is to make all the money you can make. And no matter how many compromises you have to make or how much time away from your family you have to spend, that don't matter, because hoarding and acquiring and being wealthy, that is what makes you who you are. And God says, are you kidding me? You're going to give the best of yourself just to get more stuff that's going to burn up when my son comes back? But it takes courage to let God tell you who you are and not the culture. In 2019, I'm going to preach some sermons at my church on the gospel and race. And I told my church in advance, it's coming, and you better know I'm going to say some hard things to hear. So I've gotten a lot of emails. Pastor Rick, I'm praying for you that people won't get mad. And I said, don't pray that. Pray that I'll have the courage to preach what is true, whether people get mad or not. Because the goal is not to see how many likes you get. It is to be like Jesus. One of my life verses is Galatians 1:10. I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I wouldn't be Christ's servant. But you're not going to face many storms next year. They're going to be harder than this one. Do you have the courage to reduce the pull of approval addiction? That's why one of my favorite stories, Milton Cunningham, a missionary on home on furlough, flying from Atlanta to DFW. And he gets in his seat, it's a middle seat, and next to him is a little girl who clearly has Down's syndrome. He wasn't seated very long before she tugged on his sleeve. Mister, did you brush your teeth this morning? And he smiled and said, yes, I did. Good, you should do that every day. A moment later, Mister, do you smoke? No, I don't smoke. Good, smoking will kill you. And a moment later, Mister, do you love Jesus? Yes, honey, I love Jesus very much. Good, everybody should love Jesus. Well, plane's about to leave. A man comes in, business suit, sits right next to Milton. He's got the whole vibe going, I'm important and I'm busy, don't bug me. Pulls out a book, plane takes off. Milton feels a tug on his sleeve. Ask him if he brushed his teeth this morning. And so Milton did, and he thought, oh, I know where this is going. Ask him if he smokes, and then ask him if he loves Jesus. Honey, that's kind of personal. Ask him if he loves Jesus. Honey, I don't want to bother. See, what Milton really didn't want to do was risk that this guy would think poor of him. That man's approval was more important than finding out if he loved Jesus. But that little girl would not relent. So finally, I'm sorry to bother you one last time. My little friend wants to know if you love Jesus. He said that man's face got real dark and then real sad. He said, I'm going through some tough stuff right now. I know I need to find God, but I don't know how to find him. And for 2 hours on that flight, Milton was able to help him start. And that leads right into the last area where we're going to need some courage next year. The courage to be who you should be when you're not where you want to be. So Paul wanted to be in Rome. He has wanted to be in Rome for years, but he's stuck on Malta. Now, we've all been to Malta, and I promise that sometime next year, you're going to wind up on Malta. Say, what's Malta? Malta is a place you didn't plan on going to. Malta is the thing you didn't plan on going through. And you may not be responsible for where you are, but you are responsible for what you do there. So let's keep reading. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home, showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. And when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. So what do you do when you find yourself in the place you didn't want to be? You look around and you say, well, who can I bless while I'm here? Who can you bless next year when the storm takes you to the place that wasn't on your preferred itinerary? Because divine detours always lead to ministry opportunities. Just because you didn't plan on it doesn't mean it can't fit inside the plan of God. Remember what Paul said to the Galatian church, chapter 4? You remember it was because of an illness I came to you the first time preaching the good news. Paul said, I wasn't even planning to be with you. I got sick. But because I did what I should do, we're in a place I didn't plan to be. A church got planted. A letter got written. It's still blessing us today. I don't know where you want to go in 2019. I don't know this. Getting there is not as important as being who you're supposed to be wherever you are. Because God doesn't edit your itinerary for your pleasure, but for his own purposes. So let me tell you my plane story. A few years ago, I was coming back from speaking in the western part of the country. My flight got canceled. I got booked on a much later flight that was going to cause me to miss a family event, and I was disappointed about that. I had to sit in a seat that wasn't one I wanted to sit in. It was frustrating. We've all been there, right? A lady comes and sits next to me. I've got on a suit because that was what I needed for the event I spoke at. I pull out a book. And after a minute or two, she looks at me and says, excuse me, but are you a lawyer? And I thought, I don't even know you. Why are you insulting me? You know, no. I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm a pastor. She began to weep. And through her tears, she told me that 3 weeks earlier, her teenage daughter had been killed in a four-wheeler accident. They weren't believers. Her husband had no resources to cope. He grabbed his gun, said, I'm going hunting, and just left. And after 2 weeks, she flew out to the camp in the western part of the country where he was to try to connect to him, and it was a disaster. And she's flying home. She's lost her daughter. Her marriage is crumbling. And I realized I was supposed to sit in this seat. So I had a couple of hours just to share some hope with her, to pray with her, to read some Bible to her. Most of all, to give her the name of a Christian counselor in the city she lived in I knew that could help her. And I don't think God arranged all that because I'm a minister. I think it's because I'm a Christian. Next time it'll be you. See, what I think God does, he looks down at this broken world. He sees us lost kids who are hurting and says, I need to get one of my saved kids to connect with them. Oh, there's one. And he detours you to the place you didn't want to go to be where you need to be to help one of God's lost kids. Amen. And that's going to happen next year. And you need to be ready and excited about it. You weren't planning on a shipwreck. But you needed it because the wreck led to somebody else's revival. That's why we ask for the courage to get back on the boat. Because what you go through is not just about you. Remember that. The angel said to Paul, God has graciously given you the lives of all the people on board this ship with you. And so that storm that's coming, that shipwreck you're trying to avoid, that place called Malta you don't want to be at, can be your pulpit next year for the people God needs you to be around. Because God's never going to take you where he cannot use you. We all remember 9/11. I want to show you this picture. The man they are carrying is the first officially recorded fatality. Father Michael Judge, Franciscan priest and chaplain for the New York City Fire Department. He had all the gear, and whenever the sirens went off, he would show up to give courage, to give comfort, to pray. And so when those planes flew into those buildings and everybody was leaving, he put on his gear. He went to the place nobody else wanted to be. And that's where he died. They found in his wallet this prayer he had written that became known as Father Michael's Prayer. Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say and keep me out of your way. And so we're about to enter New Year, and it's coming. Some of you are in it right now. Some of you don't see it, but it's coming. The boat that you don't want to get on, the storm you don't want to go through, the Malta you don't want to go to. You need courage so that you can be God's person in that moment. Not just for your sake, but for all the other people on the island. So I'm going to enter into a season of prayer with you. I'm going to ask you all to stand. I want to pray over you, but I want you to first to bow your head. And I want you just to identify one place in your life next year where you know now that you need more courage. Why don't you just admit it to the Lord right now in a private prayer? So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the power of your Holy Spirit will fill us all with more courage. That next year, faith will trump fear. That bravery will trump timidity. That we will have the courage, whatever we go through next year, to grow through it. Not just for our own sake, but for the sake of all those around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.